Good morning. Good morning and welcome on this snowy morning. So glad that many of you braved the slippery, snowy roads. And we are indeed glad that you are here on this third Sunday in Advent. Whether this is your first Sunday or you have been here your whole life long, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. If you have any questions about our worship or our life together as a church, please don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or there will be an elder standing at the communion table following worship this morning to receive any questions or comments that you may have. Also, your bulletin is full of calendars and announcements. Pay special attention to those things that are going on here in the upcoming weeks as we celebrate the coming of the Christ child. This morning, following worship, this is very important because so many folks were not able to be here this morning because of the snow. If you are a member of Gates Presbyterian Church, we really do need you to stay for our congregational meeting. You are welcome to take a quick trip down to Fellowship Hall, get some coffee, and come right back so that we can get that meeting started promptly. I would like to start within 5 minutes of the last notes of the postlude, so 5 minutes to get that coffee, and we will get started. And also a reminder, this Wednesday we will, from 6 to 6:30, the sanctuary will be open for a time of prayer, and you are invited. Carrie has an announcement this morning.
Good morning. Next Sunday after worship, please join us in the Adult Lounge where we will be singing Christmas carols. It's our annual Christmas carol singing event. So that'll be next Sunday after worship in the Adult Lounge. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Senior Highs, tonight is the Where is Waldo event, so meet at church at 6, and then we'll go to Grease Ridge. And those of you who've volunteered to be Waldos or who want to be a Waldo, the scarves are in my office, so take a scarf, and the instructions are there, too. Also, in the spirit of, you know, costumes, I'm getting the costumes ready for the Christmas Eve service. They're hanging on the coat rack out in the foyer, and anybody who would really feel like they just have nothing to do at this time of the year would take one and take it home and wash it and iron it and bring it back next week would be really, I would be very appreciative. Thank you.
Thank you. And if there's a long list of people looking for things to do, I've got some Christmas shopping to do. All right, folks, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our whole entire selves to worship God.
I'd like to invite Lucinda Price and Wendell Burtner forward to light the candles of the Advent wreath. Today is the third Sunday of Advent. We light three candles illuminating God's truth. So that all might magnify the joy the Christ child brings into the world, so that we might live the joy of the sacred birth.
Please stand, if able, for the call to worship. Our souls magnify the Most High.
And our spirits rejoice in God, our Savior.
From generation to generation, we joyfully adore Thee. May our voices magnify the light of God's love with us this day.
As we come before God to magnify the joy that God has blessed us in each of our lives, we also come with our brokenness. Please join me in the prayer of confession. We confess we are not the people you long for us to be, Advent God. The very ones you favor, we too often ignore and push to the margins. The ones you knock off their pedestals, we admire and emulate. In pursuit of magnifying our self-importance, we diminish the joy your kingdom offers. Forgive us, Lord of love, that we may trust in the promises you have given us. Amen. Behold and believe in the wondrous power and love of God. It is poured out for you and for God's beloved world. Rejoice in this good news and magnify it for all the world to see. Amen.
Children forward. If you're sitting over there, can I encourage you to come over here? Because I want you to see something. We have a new letter. Mr. Hadley made us a new letter. Do you know what it is? Why, that's exactly right. And guess what? It spells a word. What's the word? Joy! That's right. Did you guess that? That was what we were doing? How many of the others of you did that? Did you guess that it was joy? J-O-Y. And let's see. Remember that the J reminds us of Jesus, which is why we celebrate Christmas in the first place. We're getting ready during Advent to prepare for Jesus' birthday. And it's really important because Jesus came into our world. If you remember on the O, we had lots of pictures of children from all over the world. Jesus came into our world to teach us to love and care for others. Others. All right, that brings us to the why. Wow, if you come close, maybe you can see the pictures and help me. Who are they pictures of? That's exactly right. They're pictures of you. They're pictures of you. And Jessica Berkovich did a wonderful job of decorating our Y with beautiful pictures of you. So if you don't see your picture up here, I think you all will, but if you don't, I want to know about it, and I'm going to take your picture and put it up there after worship. So the reason we decorated the Y with pictures of you is because Jesus came in our world to show you how much God loves you. So Advent and Christmas is a time to really celebrate the joy that Jesus brought in our world, the joy of caring for others, and the joy of being loved by God. So let's have a prayer. Oh God, thank you for sending Jesus into our world to remind us how much you love us. Amen. All right. You may go back to your classes. You may go to your classes.
The first reading this morning is chapter 35 from the book of Isaiah. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
Second reading for this morning is found in the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of the Lord has come to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. God's mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. The Holy One has shown strength with his arm, has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. The Holy One has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. And Mary remained with Elizabeth for 3 months and then returned to her home. The Reverend Jan Edmison, who serves as the Associate Executive Presbyter for Ministry in Chicago, posted this week on her blog, A Church for Starving Artists, the blog is called. She posted a story about a holiday party she attended years ago. She recounts not knowing many people there, but remembers vividly the conversation she had with a stranger at the bar. They introduced themselves with the normal small talk formalities, and Jan asks the man, whom she learns his name is, well, she changes his name in order to protect his privacy. She refers to him as Adolf. And then, of course, asks what he does for a living. "I'm a venture capitalist. I find places to put my money," he tells her. Jan says, "What a coincidence. I am trying to find money for a new venture." She had recently been elected to the board of a new 501c3 nonprofit at the church where she was serving at the time. "What's the venture?" Adolf wants to know. "We've started a computer lab to teach homeless people basic computer skills so that they can get employment." A blank look follows. And so Jan goes on. "While serving dinner recently at a local shelter, we realized that many of the residents are very smart. They just don't have the basic skills to run a computerized cash register or work in an office. We have several corporate donors giving us hardware and software, and we need financial contributors, though. Are you interested?" Adolf excuses himself and begins clinking a spoon against a glass, ding, 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 to call everyone's attention in the room, and says to the crowd, "My new friend Jan here has proposed an interesting idea that I would like to share." And in her head, Jan is thinking, "Great, he is going to challenge this room to donate to this new amazing project to teach homeless folks computer skills." Adolf announces, "Get this. She's hoping to raise money to teach computer skills to homeless people." A brief moment of silence ensued. And then laughter, loud laughter from the room. Yes, laughter. They laughed at Jan. And then went about their business, talking about plastic surgery and winter vacations and all that kind of stuff. And Jan chides in her post a little bit later about how she feels a little bit like a jerk for sharing the story because it makes her look like she is full of holiness and selflessness, or to make her look self-righteous and obnoxious, but I don't agree with her. The story does exactly what it sets out to do. She titles the blog, Different Planets. And she illustrates just how differently we view and live in the world, depending on whether we trust God's promises to live the joy in the world today. You see, obviously, Jan dares to dream of a world profoundly different than the one Adolf and his fellow partygoers live in. Jan sets out to magnify the joy that, according to many standards of our world, seem ridiculous, preposterous. And when you really think about it, at times, downright laughable. And does so, and as she does so, Jan joins voices over the centuries who dare to foolishly sing, "My soul magnifies the Lord." In Luke's gospel, Mary is this unmarried, impoverished young woman who is recently visited by an angel with a very peculiar message. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." And Mary had every reason, well, to herself maybe laugh at the angel, or to run screaming, to not consider him an angel of God. Because for having a child out of wedlock, she could have been stoned for adultery, or at the very least rejected by Joseph and her parents and her village. She could spend the rest of her days in even deeper poverty, struggling to keep herself and her child fed outside the safety of marriage and a community. But Mary doesn't laugh or reject God's ridiculous plan to inhabit her womb. She hurries along to see her cousin Elizabeth and breaks forth into song. "My soul magnifies the Lord," she sings. "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon the favor of the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will not laugh at me, but call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. God has shown strength with his arm, scattered the proud, has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things." This hymn of praise has empowered the oppressed and unnerved oppressors for millennia, setting the tone for Jesus' radical and controversial ministry. Mary, who knows our Creator so intimately, she carries the Son of God, magnifies the joy of a God who reaches down and touches the pain of God's people. And so she sings of God's joy that is lifting up the victims of economic poverty and political violence and drawing them into gentle arms, the way a mother hen gathers her chicks beneath her wings while the proud are sent packing. God's joy is the powerful and corrupt leaders who are fluent in the ways of violence and domination are deposed. God's joy is the great reversal in which the hungry are fed, while the rich who have hoarded the stuff of creation for their own purposes are sent away with nothing to show for their greed. To magnify the joy of Advent this season is all about trusting God's promise to redeem creation and for us to participate in those moments where the subversive incarnation dwells. Though it may be the inclination of the world to diminish and laugh at those who participate in such moments, there was a point in time when those who participated in these moments actually beat them to the punch. During the medieval and early modern time in Europe, the Feast of Fools was celebrated variously on January 1st or December 28th. It became a literal acting out of the Magnificat as a witness to the God whose inclination is to topple human power structures and raise the downtrodden to positions of honor and feasting. As Max Harris's research has shown, the Feast of Fools lasted some 700 years as a raucous burlesque of earthly hierarchies. In Constantinople, a mock bishop was elected who would do a comedic version of the Eucharist. And until about 1685, the Franciscan order of friars did it best. They put their robes on inside out, leading worship, holding their books upside down, wearing glasses made of orange peels, and instead of the proper words for liturgical worship, chanted gibberish. Most of the time, the events earned severe condemnation from the official. Decently and in order, may not have been Presbyterians quite yet, but the church and the government. Yet as Harris notes, the feast mocked conventional human pretensions. Perhaps they actually understood something that we are quick to deny or ignore. That when we read these holy words of God's joy, known as the Magnificat, turning the world upside down, there is a temptation for us to belittle ourselves and think, wow, that's so amazing, God. I'm glad that you can live this joy stuff, and so we'll leave it to you then. It is way outside what we are comfortable with, and besides, what if people laugh at us for trying to make a difference in this world so overwhelmed with poverty, injustice, war, and violence? What if people laugh at us when they find out that we've been preparing boxes for families served by Southwest Ecumenical Ministries? And after all, we live in the fifth poorest city in the nation. What if people laugh at us for giving toiletry items to the Alternative for Battered Women, when it's ridiculous, the statistics, that up to 60% of young women in America have experienced some kind of abuse? What if people laugh at us for supplying gifts to Cameron Community Ministries in a neighborhood that has a 90% poverty rate? What if people laugh at us for teaching computer skills to those who are homeless? How can little old me make your vision of the world larger when all the troubles in this world are so big? The Feast of Fools certainly did not get it all right. But at least for a couple days each year, it did magnify God's joy, even in jest, and serve as a reminder that we can join with Mary and God to participate in those moments where the subversive incarnation dwells. May we each magnify God's joy in this world. today and always. Thanks be to God. I'd like to invite you to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concern.
Good morning, Keisha Bingo. Is this on?
Yeah.
I'd just like to share a couple of joys in our family this week. Colin graduates from college on Friday. And my niece is getting married on Saturday. So we have lots of travels and lots of joys to celebrate. Thank you.
Dr. Roshan, I'd like to ask for prayers for my mom, who is in the intensive care unit at Rochester General.
Oh, Lord, hear our prayers.
Allison Tuttle,
As you all know, my mom has been diagnosed with breast cancer, and she goes in for surgery on Tuesday. So prayers for her for a safe and a quick recovery.
Lord, hear our prayers.
Andrea Unson. One of John's baseball players, Michael Donofrio, lost his father Friday night to a massive heart attack. So prayers for that family, please, especially during this time. Thank you.
Abe Meyer, prayers for two couple friends of long, long years of friendship with them. The one couple whose son has always been troublesome, and now he's in prison. And another couple who's he is suffering from dementia, and it's very difficult for them.
Oh, Lord, hear our prayers.
We have prayers from our children this morning. Prayers of joy that Christmas is coming. Prayers of joy for the Grinch at the Auditorium Theater. And, yeah, this would be one I would be praying for joy, too. Florida for Christmas. Amen. Prayers for auditions for shows and concerts coming up. And prayers of joy for rainbow looms. Amen.
Let us pray. God, who is about to turn our world upside down, your love is magnified in our lives. You created our world and filled it with wonder, and then you sent your Son to teach us, to lead us, and to challenge us. Indeed, we are wrapped in the extravagance of your care. This morning we come praying for those who receive our Southwest Ministries food dinners. May they know that there are many who care deeply. Oh God, we ask that you open our eyes to the places and ways in which we can address hunger. Fill us with compassion. And we thank you for our long partnership with SWEM. We pray for the staff of this ministry and ask that you continue to show us ways in which we can significantly participate. Oh God, as we continue our journey toward the manger, we ask that you help us focus upon the joy of the birth of Jesus. We confess that we wake in the morning not thankful for the blessings of the day, but instead nervously consumed by the list of tasks for the day. Slow us down. Slow us down so that we might be vehicles of the magnification of the love you have for your world. Hear us, O God, as we offer our personal silent prayers for your peace to fill our lives. Now we ask that you hear us as together we pray the prayer you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I ask you to bring your gifts forward now.
Let us pray. God, as we live the joy of this Advent season, please let us not forget those who do not have many reasons for joy. Let our offering to you help ease their suffering, so that when Jesus arrives on Christmas Day, they may know God's joy and rejoice. Amen.
Overthink the joy. Let it live in your heart and magnify it. God's joy is for each of us and for all this world. So go out. Live the joy that God blesses each and every one of us with. The Christ child is coming, and the Holy Spirit fills our hearts now and always. Amen.